As a covenant family, we are blessed with so many people who actively share and show the love of Jesus in our community and around the world. I don't believe that my job as a pastor is primarily to bring us all together in doing the same missional activity. It is to encourage you, equip you, and empower you as you learn to embody Jesus' kingdom in the world in ways that align with how you've been created. This is true for us as a church, too. We thrive best when we are encouraging each other in this way, not insisting that everyone needs to have the same missional priorities that I have. To help encourage each of us, we sometimes take time to let you know about opportunities for impact that might resonate with you. Our expectation isn't that everyone or even most people will get on board with these things, but maybe some of you will. And I hope and pray that for those of you for whom these things don't resonate, you'll still be encouraged in your pursuit of the things that do align with your gifts and passions. With that being said, I'm excited for you to hear about what God is doing through a young educator in Malawi. We've chosen to let you know about this because the primary Canadian contact for this ministry is Brian Bell, one of the former pastors at Covenant Church. He will introduce himself in the interview and let you know all about the ministry we are talking about on today's Covenant Weekly, Season 2, Episode 29, Aim Light High School. Brian Bell, it is great to have you with us this morning. Before we get into talking about Aim Light, I'm wondering if you could just share a little bit for those who are new to Covenant or have come since you have been there, if you could explain a little bit about your Covenant connection and why it was important to reach out for you to reach out to Covenant.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks, John, for inviting me today to join you in this chat, and I'm really glad to catch up again. I served as the lead pastor at Covenant from 1994 to 2003. Seems like a long time ago now. So you're right, probably lots of people wouldn't know me personally, and I'm glad to introduce myself again. Covenant was my first pastoral charge seeking ministry after I left the business world, which I was in for 10 years with my family in Stayner. And it was a wonderful place for Lori and I to be. And you were so accepting as a congregation. And we did lots of crazy things, I think, during those years. People really responded well. And it was just a great season there. So we also had our daughter with us. She was, I think, in grade four when she came and went to James Keating. And Lori worked part-time at James Keating as well as a substitute teacher. And lots of things happened at the church as we grew and found a way into the community, I guess, in connecting and also inviting people to be a part of the church and to find out more about what it means to follow Jesus. So that's kind of my history. And now I'm kind of checking in again and saying hello and talking about something that I've been involved with for the last couple of years.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Where are you now? And how did you get connected in Malawi and with the ministry that we're going to be talking about?
So last October, we moved to Port Elgin, Ontario. And so since I've been at the church, I served in ministry up until 2017 and retired at that point. And we moved to Meaford to be close to our daughter and then to soon to become grandson. Then we all moved in 2022. Jessica and Pedro and Zion moved to Wyarton area, and we moved here to Port Elgin. So that's where I am today. But in 2010, 2011, we went to Malawi and worked at Evangelical Bible College of Malawi for a year. I was a teacher there, and Lori was involved in the library work. So that was a great year. That's where we first met Moffert and Gloria Lewis, who Mofford is now the founder and director of the school that we're talking about in Malawi. So Malawi is a little country in between Mozambique and Zambia, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, kind of stuck in there in off the coast, and very small country, but with about 20 million people. So it's a very poor country.
Okay. And so you mentioned the couple that started this school, AIM Light High School is the name of the school. It's under the umbrella of AIM Light Ministries. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about is it Mofford?
Mofford,
And just kind of what drew you to him and the work that he has started there.
So we met as he was part of the Brethren of Christ Church in Malawi, and was a younger guy. I didn't teach him in the school that he graduated from, but he was working as a project manager for the church to help build one of their local churches, which Lori and I helped be a part of by being on the building committee. So we knew him as a project manager first, and then after we left Malawi in 2011, we kept in touch on occasion. But more significantly, we went back to visit Malawi in 2019 and had lunch with him again. And typically for people in Africa, they have trouble with employment opportunities. He said to us over lunch that day, he said, I feel like the Lord is asking me to start a school, Brina High School. I've had trouble with keeping jobs and having jobs that paid and support my family. And so I'm just really sensing that this could be an opportunity, because he had been trained as a teacher as well. So that was 2019. And then in the fall of 2020, he actually rented a space in a Catholic parish church school that was no longer being active and used, and started up the school. So I offered to help him in any way that I could from an administrative side here in Canada. And then we also offered to help raise some funds for some students to go to school that couldn't afford the tuition. In Malawi, the primary school is all paid for by the government, but the high schools are all tuition-based. So families have to pay a small fee for students to go to school and buy a uniform. So it's quite different for trying to get people trained and educated, young people, as they grow up and get older. So it seemed to me that this was an excellent opportunity, and I really felt like Mofford was a great individual with high integrity and lots of energy. And so we began to help support him in the school.
Great. So that started in 2020 in rented space, you said. What have you seen develop between 2020 and now early 2023?
Yeah, so they started with about 60 students the first year that came, and we helped support 12 of those students. And then the next year they were up to 80 students. And the next year, this year, they started with 149 or 150 students last fall in 2022, I guess. And but Mofford came and said, you know, we'd really like to get away from renting. And there's a little piece of property next to the area that they had the school in. And so he ended up purchasing that himself. And I think it's about an acre and a half, maybe 2 acres. And so throughout 2022, we said, well, we'd help again to try to help build some buildings. And that's was kind of the major project last year, is inviting people to contribute to help build the school. So there's a plan for 4 buildings and hosting up to 300 students. So this year, they're now in that location. We helped them build 2 classroom buildings and an administration building combined, along with student toilets, a well, and a septic system. So they were able to move in September last year and start in October. And now they're there, and we're hoping to continue to help grow the school with two more buildings, as well as support them in the needs that they often have. They can't manage just through their own tuition revenue stream. So we're doing things that are helpful for them beyond the basics as much as we can. And that's where we're currently at with the school continuing to grow.
So they've grown about 2.5 times the size in the matter of three school years, 2021, 22. Yep. And their goal is to double again, to get up to around 300 students. In addition to the work of God, what would you say are some of the keys to their growth so far?
Well, Moffert and his wife, Gloria, spend lots of time in prayer and fasting, and I contribute a lot of their success to God giving them opportunities. So, for instance, he began to pray about this opportunity to start the school. He found this location that only had one other high school, and that's where he decided that he should try to plant the new school. There's 18 elementary schools within the district, and they all feed into this one high school that's a government-run school, but they only have about 150 students in it as well. So he landed there and then thought, this is going to be a great opportunity to provide high school for all of these students that can't attend locally because they can't get into the limited capacity in the high school that's already operating. So it's a great market. And then beyond that, it's a Christian school. So they've started it on the basis of being committed to the Christian faith and teaching kids what it means to think biblically and think as Christians and live as Christians. So they offer a very similar curriculum because all of the nation has to have the same curriculum. And yet they're trying to provide a Christian basis as well. They've just started a lunch program, which the high school doesn't have. So that's especially this year because hunger is an issue this year. The crops from last year weren't very good. So families actually had some of their students drop out at the beginning of the January term because they couldn't afford it. They had to save their funds for buying food and making sure they had enough. It's a pretty difficult year, and the new crops don't come in now until sometime later in April, early May. So they're offering things that are going to help. Another goal that we have is to provide some sanitary napkins for supplies for young girls as they attend school, because often they don't come during that time of the month. They're hoping to provide, some books and science experiment lab equipment, those kinds of things in the school as well. So it's starting out well, but there's lots of needs yet, of course.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, did they start with like a grade 9 cohort, or have they had graduating classes already? Did they start students in grade 10, 11 and graduate them? How has that gone so far?
Yeah, so it's based on a British system because Malawi was a British colony for a long time. And so it's Form 1, Form 2, Form 3, that kind of thing. Yes. And yes, they do start at each level. And I think this year they're going to graduate some students. So they took in some students that were older. So they kind of adjust the curriculum accordingly. And they do intend on having a kind of an open registration process for as many students as they can handle. And then they have these state exams. Everybody has to take the exam and pass them to be able to graduate and therefore go on to university, etc. So it's trying to offer everything that they can, but they're limited in their size at this point. They have, I think, 9 teachers. And they just recently got certified by the government of Malawi to be recognized as a legitimate school and that kind of thing.
I was going to ask about that because I saw that in the most recent newsletter. What is involved with getting that government recognition, and what is the benefit? What are the benefits of it?
Yeah, so it was all a process that we helped with, and Moffert was very instrumental in in organizing so that the school could be recognized as an NGO and then also recognized by the government. So they sent, the government sent, the Department of Education sent four individuals out to the school, which, funny story, I won't tell it all, but they got stuck on the way out because of the mud and the rains that they had recently. They got them through and they inspected the school and wrote them a letter of conditions that they still had to meet, which they were able to do. And so they said, we are acknowledging that the school is meeting the standards for the government to recognize them as a school and certify them as such. And that helped with the process of them becoming an NGO. So the school is not the NGO, AIM Light Ministries is. And then the school is under the umbrella, as you said, of AIM Light Ministries. So that's really worked out well. And that then allows us to proceed with finding a way to get charitable receipts for people here in Canada.
A couple of other questions just about school life itself.
Sure.
How many of the students would you say are male students versus female students?
There's a slight majority of female.
Okay.
And at this point, I don't have the exact percentage this year, but that's typical. And they have many students that will walk quite a distance to get there each day. And they start at 7 a.m. in the morning and finish at 3. So it's a long day that way. But again, the sun rises at 6 in the morning and sets at 6 at night. So the daylight hours are limited, and that's part of their experience, is challenge even to do work in the evenings without electricity, which is often not on because of the lack of power in the country.
The other question I had is, like, that's a long day, 7 to 3. They surely aren't just in classes, in lectures that whole time. What other things do they have as a part of the school that help kind of create the culture and life and community at the school?
Well, I wish that I had been able to be there to experience that. So I have to talk about what I hear.
Okay.
So there is chapel services that they provide. They have some level of sports activity, and Malawians love to sing and they have amazing voices. The harmonies are incredible. So I'm sure there's lots of singing even while they might work to help clean up the classrooms or the yard or whatever. The other thing that they've recently been able to set up is a ping pong table. And one of our friends was actually visiting the school in February and helped them build a ping pong table. So they've been learning that game. And I'm sending over some pickleball paddles and balls because that's one of the things I'm involved with here. So that should start up fairly soon as well. But I'll say that the curriculum is quite demanding. So they have all these requirements by the government to teach them their curriculum subjects. And so they do spend a lot of their day in classes, and that's one of the challenges for helping these students, especially when it's hot or especially when they're hungry. So the day can be quite demanding, and the friends that went to Malawi recently from Canada said that often the students find it difficult to concentrate throughout the day as they deal with these kinds of challenges.
So for those who are interested in helping and would like to support specific students, like not named students necessarily, but I would like to, if someone said, I would like to give and I want to make sure that my money helps a student or students attend the school, how much does the donation cost to ensure a student gets a full year at the school with everything that they need?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, John. It's about $275 Canadian dollars will pay for their tuition for a year, their uniform, and their exam fees. And I'm, again, hoping that we can raise enough for 25 students to be supported. And that's a very minimal cost when you think about the cost of school. So
does that include their access to the lunch program as well?
Yes. Yep. So everything's included, and that's what the school has a system to say, if you're in financial need, then you can apply for assistance. And they interview the students and their families, and many of them are headed by grandparents or by perhaps one parent only, or they're living with relatives and they don't have parents who may have passed away. So it's all meant to respond to the needs of children that don't have the capability to supply the funds for the school year. So and then I usually get a picture or a little note from the students, and it's fun to see them, and they've been really thankful for the support that we've been able to supply.
Great. You mentioned the building that has happened on the property. I have read that there's plans to expand that and expand some of the services on the property. So there's other projects, whether it be capital projects or I see in the newsletter, there's something about teacher wage supplements and things like that. What are some of the things beyond the student sponsorship that you are hoping to be able to help them fund in Malawi?
Yes, thank you. It's always a challenge there. We lived in Malawi for the year, and incredibly, they're wonderful people, in many ways, very generous people themselves, but they have so little. So I think the goal that we have long-term is to see the school become self-supporting, in particularly when it comes to running their programs, but we'd like to be able to help them get the infrastructure set up. So far we've done, like I said earlier, the well and the septic, the toilets, those kinds of things. But, you know, the well pump doesn't work so well if there's no power. So they're looking at a little solar system to power the pump to supply the well or supply the water supply. And the buildings are a challenge because they often build things in Africa, and Malawi is no different, that aren't completed. So they'll do the basic structure, but then they need to do some nicer finishings, or they need to make sure that they've got their windows in, or they might have the openings but not windows, etc. All of that is finishing, that comes slowly and often from support from people outside of their local circle. The plan was for four buildings to house the students that they'd like to house, and two more of those are needed. So we're looking for some people who might be interested in that because it's a larger project. Typically, the buildings can be built for $25,000 or $30,000, but they made their own bricks last year, John. They started making 300,000 bricks out of the soil that's on their own property, and that became the bricks for all the buildings that they built so far. So it's quite amazing. That employs people locally. They do pay for people to help make all those bricks and build the buildings and volunteer. So there's lots of impact, economic impact, when we can help support these things. I'll just mention one other thing that related to the teachers' wages. So again, we're hoping that the tuition can pay for the teachers' wages, and typically that happens. But this year in January, 21 students didn't return for the second semester. So that meant they lost revenue, and that meant that the teachers' wages were delayed in being paid. And throughout Malawi, doesn't matter what school, you often find that the teachers aren't paid on time. And this semester is the first semester out of the 3 years that Mofford has asked me for some assistance for the teachers' wages because of that loss of revenue from the students who couldn't return. So, you know, there's always a challenge that seems to be coming, and if we can kind of get them over the hump and get them to a point where they can have enough local support through tuition, that'll make a big difference. And that's what we're hoping.
The donations don't go through Aim Light Ministries. The donations go through the Great Commission Foundation. Is that correct?
Yes. So they're Great Commission Foundation in Abbotsford, BC, is a foundation that takes on projects all over the world and then provides for all of the details for the CRA and the accounting for donations to come in, and then they offer the receipts. So donations go into Great Commission Foundation, and then they get transferred to Malawi. So that's just recently come on board. The first two and a half years, we didn't have that available to us. So all I could do was ask people if they would generously contribute, and no receipts were offered. But now we can do that, and we're thankful for that as well, because it is a benefit to people who would like to give.
For those who would like to find out more, and I guess there's three things. One is more information. One is how do they sponsor? And then three, how would they get in touch with you if they wanted even more information?
Sure. We have a website for Aim Light Ministries, and that provides information about the school, aimlightministries.com. And you'll find a lot of information there about the school, some great pictures that we have of the community, the students, and the facilities. So I'd invite people to try that out. Aimlightministries, all one word, .com. Then secondly, there is on that page, there's a link to how to donate, and it takes you to the Great Commission Foundation website, whereby people can donate by credit card, by pre-authorized withdrawals from their bank account, or they can mail a check in. And all of those details are there as well.
Great.
And then if they want to connect with me, my email is bjbell07@mac.com, M-A-C.com. And also they could touch base through the website. There's a Aim Light Ministries email that will come to me as well, and I'll certainly get those notices too. So, and we're here in Port Elgin. If anyone's coming this way to a holiday, feel free to look us up, and we'd love to visit, of course, and connect personally. I would be glad to connect with people in giving more information and sharing with them what's going on at the school. So I'd love to be in touch.
Great. Thank you very much, Brian. I think this is it's an amazing thing that God is doing through the people there and through your partnership with them. And we're just glad to be able to introduce things to people at Covenant. So if God stirs something in their heart, that it's something they would like to be involved in, that they can connect with you and connect with this ministry. So thank you very much.
Well, I want to thank you and the people of Covenant. I realize there's lots of needs in the world, many needs and opportunities to give. So exactly like you said, if God stirs your heart to give something, that would be wonderful and marvelous. And Moffert is also aware that I'm chatting with you folks this morning. So he sends his greetings, and we look forward to what God will do. And we know that God has provided a lot so far and will continue to do so. And great to be able to talk with you today and the people at Covenant, whom we have a warm heart, warm place in our hearts for as well. So blessings to you all, and thank you so kindly.
Thanks for listening to this interview today. We hope that whether or not this is something for you to connect with, that you are encouraged to hear about what God is doing through this ministry in Malawi. Very quickly, let me remind you of two things this week. First, our newcomers dessert night is coming up this Saturday evening. If you have not registered to attend, please go to www.covenantchurch.ca, find the event on the event page, and use the registration link to sign up. If you want to bring family or friends with you, they are welcome. If you're willing to provide a dessert for this evening, email us at office@covenantchurch.ca and let us know. The second reminder is that we are less than 2 weeks away from Mother's Day.
We are looking forward to honoring moms as a part of our service on May 14th. Now, as you go through this week, may you continue to show the love of Jesus in ways that fit with how God has created you. May you follow the divine into the life to the full that Jesus came to offer. God bless. Go in peace.